Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. Be sure and drop us a note or, and this is new, send us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind. What's going on for the summer, for instance, your favorite vacation story, things like that. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder and send the file to our email address at indianaweekend@gmail.com. And we've gotten a digital comment for this week from a woman responding to last week's interview with the fellow who lives in the middle of the wind turbine farm between Elwood and Tipton. You'll hear that later in the show. First, though, a trip out to the Putnamville Correctional Facility, the state prison, about 50 miles west of Indianapolis. At a horse farm near the prison, inmates who would like a second chance themselves are working on a novel project to give a second chance to retired Indiana racehorses. We went out to Putnamville and met Barbara Holcomb, the equine vocational instructor at Putnamville Correctional Facility. Her work is also sponsored by the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation of Indiana. Just my luck, as soon as I drove up, a storm swept through, and you'll hear the rain on the tin roof of the barn during part of our visit.
What we do here is we take in Indiana ex-racers. Those are horses that either no longer are competitive or we've had to step in for an abuse or neglect situation. We take them here, we recondition them, retrain them, get them healthy and sound, and then they are put up for adoption, and we track those horses for the rest of their life.
So that sound that we hear is...
The sound that you hear, it's pouring down rain right now.
And this is, we're in a tin roof barn,
we are,
right?
In a pole barn with tin stalls.
Tell me what the horses are like when you get them. It's, you know, these are not the saddle horses that we go for a little ride in the park.
No, these horses are straight from the track. When we get them, they could have raced the day before or maybe even that day. We get them in and...
Wait a minute, who's that?
That's Tin Man. He is a grandson to Secretariat. Uh-huh, Tin Man coming. It's right there.
Can we go see him?
Yeah. It'll be wonderful.
A grandson to Secretariat?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh.
He was brought to us by Mike Ryan, and he raced in Indiana, but he's raced in other states, too. He was in a really bad crash coming out of the gates at Arlington, and probably with most owners, he would have been euthanized, but... He had such great lineage, and they just absolutely loved this horse. And so they doctored him, and you can see his front ankle is huge, where he had broken both sesamoids and tore the deep flexor tendon that runs up the back of his leg. He's completely sound as far as a pasture pet, or, you know, possibly with some work, he might be able to be something you could, you know, get on once in a blue moon, but... he runs like the wind. He's real easy to get along with. He's quite the clown. He loves peppermints. And right now he wants to eat. But he's a great horse. And if you look at his face, he looks like Secretariat in the face. He has that side strip down his nose. And that's...
It's a beautiful animal.
Thank you.
That's part of what...
That's what we do. That is what we do. We step in when there is no alternative for that horse. You know, like I said, he more than likely, probably out of the 30 horses here, probably 90% of them would have been destroyed. Either, you know, euthanized because of an injury or sent to killers. So we give an alternative to protect these horses.
Wait, sent to killers?
Yeah, there's a slaughterhouse. They send them there to destroy them. So... Indiana is very proactive, and they stand behind the thoroughbreds really well. And the racing commissioner and both racetracks in Indiana watch for that, and they're very supportive to this program and to trying to get those horses out of there and to us. I mean, I've been at several events at one or both tracks and gotten calls that there's an Indiana ex-racer that's in a kill pen at a slaughterhouse. Can we take him? And we'd step right in and take that horse. So it's, I mean, that's one of the great things that we do, but we also, second phase of this is we give hope to offenders. They learn to give back. They learn compassion. You know, skills that could go on for life skills when they go home.
This is a pretty labor-intensive kind of thing, right? You need the help, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have 8 men in here and me. And I have 7 that are in class. I have a mentor. And then there's me. Yeah, that's really boring.
I'm just laughing because it was just sprinkling when I drove up here. And
it was funny before you got here. You brought this.
So let's look at this horse. So when you – how do – There's a little
thunder. A lot of thunder.
So just taking care of any horse requires you're grooming them.
When we get them in, say it's just a horse straight from the track, they do a turnaround. We take them off all meds, all their type of feed and their program that's on. So they drop weight, and then we bring them back and get them all sound and healthy. They're playing with another horse. That's what you hear in the background. And then if they have an injury, or maybe they just need time off the track, because racing is hard, and it's hard on them, and a lot of horses, you know, really have to take a lot of strain and pressure on their legs as they run. And Indiana's tracks are getting better to that. We're getting a lot more better footing for them and softer footing, so hopefully there'll be less injuries. And then we get them sound, we get them healthy, and that goes with the men. The men come in every morning. These horses, all 30, have hands-on every day. They pick their feet, they groom them, feed them, medicate if we have to medicate, wrap if we have to do leg wraps. We fix the fence, we paint the barn, we mow the yards, we weedy, you know, anything that goes with running any kind of equine facility or any kind of a farm, actually, we do.
Barbara Holcomb, who runs the prison program in which inmates from the Putnamville Correctional Facility help care for retired Indiana racehorses. Coming up, more about how the horses and the people are helped, including a chat with two of the inmates working at the farm.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
We're visiting today with a program to help retired Indiana racehorses. The animals have near zero value after their racing careers are finished. So the folks at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation of Indiana try to find new homes for them. For some horses, that may mean a second career in the show ring or as riding animals. Others may simply become pets. But almost all of them make a stop at a farm near the Putnamville Correctional Center, a grim prison west of Indianapolis. There, they meet folks like Gary Moore, doing time for a drug offense, who is glad to help because of the break this means from the routine of prison life.
Hey, my name is Gary Moore. I'm just a clerk or a mentor out here at the barn. So, well, the biggest thing for me is a peace of mind, really. I grew up on a 360-acre farm, and so now it's just kind of like a little piece of home, sort of, you know, get away from all the mess over there, the jungle, so to speak.
I would think this would be great to get out here.
Yeah.
Working...
Yeah, I like it out here a lot. I mean, I don't have to be out here anymore. I just choose to, so.
And is that one of yours?
It could be.
Talk about the difference between being over at the institution and then being out here. Why that's, I'm guessing it's, you'd rather be here.
Well, that's the difference between being home and not, pretty much. Black and white. Well, if you've been locked up for a while, it's kind of like being a little mouse in a big city. You get out here, you just, all the things you're... usually take for granted. You come out here and you see things you haven't got to see for a while, a little more freedom, a little more, you know.
Does it make life at the prison any easier when you can get away to this?
Well, I've seen people that, you know, kind of hardened up in the prison, and they come out here, and at first you're kind of skeptical about them, you know, think maybe they might try to do something, but when they get out here, they kind of soften up a little bit and realize how good they got it, and then seem like they just fit right in and just go with the flow.
How long have you been at Putnamville?
Since January 2010.
2010?
Mm-hmm. I got till January 2016.
Okay. Do you want to work in with horses when you get out or anything? Does this change how what you'll do when you get out?
No, I wouldn't say that. I own a concrete business on the house. So, but like I said, I have a bunch of family, and they all have friends, and they all take quarter horses and showman horses and all the state fairs, and they train horses and stuff. So maybe on the side, maybe I can make a little extra money, or just in my free time, you know, give me something to do instead of what I might have been doing before. You know, I could just hang out and, you know, make a little money on the side in the evenings.
Do you mind saying what you were convicted of?
I have a drug charge.
People at one time or another can get in trouble and that sort of thing, and then you being in this situation gives you a chance to reflect on that. I mean,
yeah. I'm just a country boy turned wild, you know. I got a little wild, got caught with some drugs, and got a pretty good sized sentence for it, and it's pretty much the sum of it.
So this has got to be better working over here with the horses and helping these folks out, because you've got this knowledge. That's got to be better than.
Well, this is the best job in the facility by far. I believe, in my personal opinion, you don't make the most money. I mean, 15, 20 cents an hour, you know what I mean? But the benefits outside of that are, you know, a lot better than the rest of the jobs, I think. You know, you could work at the pallet shop or whatever and make more money, but freedom is more important to me, I think.
So the folks who come over here and participate in this program, I mean, in your case, you grew up around all this, and so it's not new. Do you have city guys who come over?
Oh, I've seen guys that didn't even last an hour. There was a guy that was from the city recently. He lasted a day and an hour, and last I heard, he had his mom calling up here saying he didn't want to work around them. So they get scared, you know, and they're intimidating. So
the horses are a 1,000-pound animal. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could just lean up against you.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they get intimidating, you know, if they try to kick at you or bite you or whatever. Or if you've just never been around them, like I said, they'll push you around a little bit. But
now, do you ever have any cases where, you know, a guy who's at the prison is a really tough, mean guy, comes over here, softens up around the horses? Does that ever?
Yeah, that's some of what I was talking about earlier. You see some of the guys that may be a little harder whenever they're over there, and then when they get out here, they're just little pussycats, you know. So that softens them up.
Why is that? How does that work?
Yeah, I'm not sure why. I guess just having companionship with the animals or whatever, you know, got a good instructor, and she don't really ride you. Like over there, the COs are a little rougher around the edges than she is out here, you know, so it's kind of a little freedom.
She's pretty nice, isn't
she? Oh, yeah.
What do most people not realize, would you say, about folks in prison and all that? What do you wish that they knew?
I'd assume that most people know that everyone here ain't really all that bad inside. They just made a mistake, and 90% of the world's made a mistake somewhere down the road, and that they could have wound up here, they just didn't get caught for it, you know. That's just the way it is. I mean, the world, everyone does stupid things, and just so happened most of us got caught for it. So
my name's Mike Shelford, and I've been here for about 2 months, and the main job is to care for the horses. We each have our own set horses that we work with, so I have four, and we all have about three or four, maybe five. And that's the main job, is to care for them, groom them, feed them, bring them in from the pasture, make sure they're okay. But, you know, it's a farm out here, so there's tons of work always needing done. So whatever we're told and whatever comes up, you know.
Did you grow up on a farm? Did you grow up around this? Or have you had to learn all about this from the program?
I've learned everything from this program. I've never been around horses. I mean, when I was young, I think I rode a couple times, but I really don't remember that. So, you know, and I took to it pretty quick, I think. They're pretty friendly for the most part. There's a couple that you need to, you know, get comfortable with before you just go in there and start, you know, brushing them. And
I would. They're pretty big. Huh?
Exactly, yeah. They're, you know, over 1,000-pound animals. And, you know, sometimes they don't even know they're pushing you around, even the ones that are real friendly with you. So you got to be on your toes, be careful. But, you know, as long as if you protect yourself and you're on your, like I said, on your toes, then it goes pretty smoothly. I haven't had any incidents. Not yet.
That's Mike Shelford. And before him, Gary Moore, inmates at the Putnamville Correctional Center who work in the program for retired racehorses. Coming up, more from Putnamville and how the horses make such a difference in the outlook of these inmates.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do, if he says the horse can do, can do.
I'm picking Valentine, cause on the morning line, the guy has got him figured at 5 to 9, but make it
FS10. This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss, here on Indiana Public Radio.
Well, as we mentioned, we're very interested in your input for the show always. A great way to do that is simply email us an audio file to indianaweekend@gmail.com. You could do that on your smartphone. That's how we heard from Anita Glaze, a homeowner in eastern Delaware County. She's with the homeowners opposed to the proposed wind farm under discussion in the county.
At the May 8th Planning Commission, which is in charge of zoning and setbacks and any regulations regarding wind farms, they recommended 1,000 feet setback for these wind turbines. What that means simply is that a wind turbine could be within 1,000 feet of a residence. That isn't from your property line. That means that 400, 500, 600 feet of your property, your land, could be used as a debris field for these wind turbines. And so really you could have a wind turbine almost sitting right next to your house. Obviously, that is not acceptable. It is way too close. I'm a mom of three young children. I don't need propellers even anywhere in my neighborhood. When you've got turbines sticking up in the air like that, they are going to impact a wide range of places. It's going to impact our home values. It's going to impact the decibel air, you know, the sound and the noise in the area. It's going to impact even the way that birds, you know, and wildlife migrate. There was an article in the Star Press a couple of weeks ago about that. And quite honestly, I just don't want to see that out my back window. I selected my home. I built my home based on what was around it. There are many, many other factors here. I don't oppose wind energy. I think it's wonderful. But for a highly dense population density area like Delaware County in our rural areas, it's just not the proper place for a wind farm, especially as many turbines as they are proposing.
That's Anita Glaze, a Delaware County homeowner who is among the folks fighting the proposed wind farm near Muncie. She's planning to be at the next Delaware County Planning Commission to discuss the project. If you want more information about their group, we've put the contact information on our Facebook site. Just search Indiana Weekend. And now, back to our horse farm about 50 miles west of Indianapolis. Imagine a prison. Cold brick buildings encircled by fierce coils of razor wire atop imposing walls and fences. Now look past the front gate, across U.S. 40 a little ways, to a rolling pasture with horses, once racehorses, now retired. Their caretakers are the inmates from the prison. Barbara Holcomb runs the program and invites you inside. The sun is blazing out from the departing clouds after a hard rain. The inmates are working with horses in the barn. We're in a room just off the stalls.
We're in the classroom right now, and the men learn everything from grooming and picking feet to respiratory, digestive, leg ailments, injuries, how to take care of first aid injuries and things. They learn pretty in-depth knowledge to take care of these horses and to maybe go on to another job.
I was just going to say, this sounds like something you could use for employment.
Yes. We have a few that have completed the program that are working in other barns and other facilities. It also teaches them empathy and compassion and responsibility. I mean, a lot of these guys really didn't have a lot of responsibility when they were out on the streets. So they're learning that this animal depends on them every day, whether it's for medicine or it's for attention. And it to me, is always funny when you have these big, bad, burly guys inside the prison act one way, and when they're out here in the program, they're, you know, chomping off pieces of peppermint and feeding it to the horse and, you know, oh, baby, daddy missed you and things like that. I mean, it fills that void, and it teaches them there's something bigger than them. They know that they can't go with that horse and make that horse do something it doesn't want to do. They learn that if that horse doesn't want to go there, it's not going to go there, and you can't make it. Tug of war with a 1,000-pound animal, you're going to lose. So they learn a lot of give and take. They learn how to read the animal to keep themselves safe and to keep the animal safe. It just has so many emotional facets to it that the men learn. And then there are so many things that I think in the beginning that I don't even think we all knew what they were going to get out of it. I think we thought, yeah, they're going to get some things out of it. They're going to get some skills. But they really get a lot more of an emotional Band-Aid for what they went through. It helps them fill those voids that maybe they've lost. Maybe they don't have their children in their life anymore. Maybe they've lost their family, their home, their kids, everything. And so it kind of helps mend, and they start feeling like they're given back, and they have self-worth, and that they're doing something bigger than them. That's the main thing I think of, is it's just bigger than they are.
Do you think it's something about animals that they bring out the best in us?
Yeah, they heal you. They heal your heart. They heal your emotions. You know, you can have a really bad day, and that horse is going to look at you the same way, like, oh, there you are. You're going to give me peppermints today, or you're going to come in and scratch me and, you know, feed me and do all these things. And it just helps them release maybe frustrations of being locked up, and maybe things aren't going well at home, or maybe things are going bad inside. Who knows what's in their minds? But it just helps fill those voids and helps them become a giving human being again.
Can you tell me a story about, you know, an individual that you met and you saw, you know, a change in a person?
One that pops to my mind first is I had a young guy that was out here, and he's actually working in the horse industry now. And he was kind of a brat. I mean, he was, mommy and daddy gave him everything he wanted, and it didn't work out because they never gave him what he really needed. They never gave him that strong guidance. They let him do whatever. Well, he got mixed up with wrong people and doing the wrong things, and he ended up here. And he had a horrible, spoiled brat-like attitude, very angry and just angry. I mean, just bitter anger. And he had completed the first phase of the program, and I had to constantly, you know, watch your attitude, you know, watch how you say things, you know, constantly bring that to his attention. And he just would almost like look at me like I was the mother because I was making him do the things that he didn't want to do. You know, he didn't want to weed eat because it was hot. Well, you have to weed eat. That's part of this. Or you don't want to fix a fence post. Well, you have to fix a fence post. And you had to give him reasons all the time. Well, he blew up one day, and I removed him from the program. He was a liability because of his anger, and he got aggressive with one of the horses, and that's immediately out. Well, I made him take anger management before I would even consider giving him a chance, a second chance. And in the meantime, he finished anger management, and he's like, I know I needed this. I see where I went wrong, da-da-da-da-da. Well, by the time he had finished anger management, a few weeks after, he went home. And he wrote a letter probably, I think he'd been out maybe 3 months, 4 months, and he wrote a letter, and he said that me making him be in check and be responsible for his actions and his attitude was the first time somebody called him on it. And going to anger management and hearing what and how to make himself whole and not be so bitter and angry about things that he put himself in those positions, was the best thing that could have happened to him. He needed prison for those reasons.
Barbara Holcomb of the Putnamville Correctional Facilities Program that lets prison inmates work with retired racehorses. The horses are taken care of at the farm until they can be adopted out. The offenders get vocational training as well as a break from the routine of the prison. You know, that's our show for today. So glad you could be with us. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. And if you like, consider sending us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story, things like that. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder, speak your piece, and email the file to us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss, here on Indiana Public Radio.